Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of Banca Transilvania for the preliminary financial results 2019. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Omar Tizik, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Hello, this is Omar Tizik from Banca Transilvania. Thank you very much for joining us, and I hope you are all safe and healthy within this hysteria of coronavirus. But on the other hand, we are also quite sad about each year coming up to the markets with quite good and strong results. Last year we had been discussing about the emergency ordinance. This year we are discussing about the general global market situation and coronavirus. I hope that recovery will be as good as last year, both in terms of personal health and in terms of financial health of all market participants. 2019 was indeed a very good year for Banca Transilvania, and we have, after finalizing Bank Post integration, it was the year of organic growth. We have proved to our stakeholders that we are leader in terms of lending, in terms of sectors of our interest, and further, most of the SME and retail customers made their choice by working with Banca Transilvania. I would like to give a very, very brief overview about how we see actually the it's more fact-based because the numbers are already in the market, but how was 2019 in terms of Romanian economy and Romanian banking sector. It was marking one of the best performing years in terms of assets growth and in terms of loan growth, in terms of lending activity in the market. Total banking assets grew almost 10%, 9.8% to 103 billion lei equivalent, to 495 billion lei. This is also coming from the good market sentiment, interest, new investments, projects of the previous and the actual government, and also I'll say the bigger appetite of banks to lend to the market participants, especially after the long discussions with the public administration, politicians and authorities in terms of the lack of lending or financial inclusion in Romania. The total profit of the banking sector is slightly down to 7.1% to 6.3 billion lei, but this is also partially affected by the special tax on assets as well. However, both from the capital base and also NPL ratios, Romanian banking system shows very strong and solid ground, which is also a good base to further grow. Loans were up by 7.6% year-on-year on average, mainly from RON-denominated loans. We are expecting this trend slightly to change in 2020 due to release of minimum reserves and also high liquidity in euro, which is affecting income statements and balance sheets of all banks, all market participants. The good news was actually after several years, the corporate loans have shown 7.5% growth year-on-year. This is coming from the bigger investment appetite of companies and the lending appetite of the banks, which is also preparing the base for future growth of the economy. Also in the lending, as per the last year's trend, still both the new loans and the stock of the loans are mostly dominated in lei. Romanians had been probably based on the based on the lessons learned after 2008-2009, Romanians had been good savers, and the savings of Romanian households, also companies, has increased almost 10% in 2019. This is creating an interesting situation with banks with over liquidity, keeping the interest rates also very low, especially the household deposits growing almost 12% during the year, decreased the loan-to-deposit ratio of the banking system below 70%. Towards early 70%. The economy had been growing at a good pace, although it is below the potential yet. The last quarter economic growth was 4.3% and year-on-year growth was 4.1%. In terms of percentage, it's definitely quite a positive number, but on the other hand, Romania, in order to reach its potential and European markets' average per capita incomes, we should base of growth over 5%, close to 6% on a yearly basis. I guess still is one of the highest growing countries in European Union. Romania, also with the new developments and changes in the semi-deglobalization, could reach its potential. Private consumption was still the highest contributing factor to the GDP growth, as the labor markets and credit markets showed positive trends, but also it created the so-called twin deficit issue, which is the main topic of political and fiscal discussions in Romania. And Romania has breached the 3% budget deficit limit in 2019. It seems that in 2020 we will further come down, but still slightly above this deficit. It's not a bad thing as long as the deficit is being channeled, used for investments and economic growth instead of salary payments and pension payments and just consumption. There was a slight deceleration of consumer price index to 3.8%, and we expect this to calm down also in 2020 to 3.5%, which is in line with the interest rate environment, liquidity environment, but also maturing the markets having higher maturity. When we come back to BT's performance, as you have seen our numbers already last week, as we announced them publicly, and a couple of our colleagues have been traveling to London for an investors conference. We tried to give some more clearance, but I will go through the numbers and then try to allocate more time for the Q&A. Our net interest income grew by 7.8% to 2.7 billion lei, and our net fee and commission income grew almost 5% to 730 million lei. Here, if you look at the, in terms of net fee and commission income, if you look at the BT customers, as we call pre-Bankpost integration, customers who have more than 2 years in BT, the average growth of net fee and commission income had been 12.5%, because we are adding up to the year-end numbers, Bankpost figures, the growth is single digit. However, as I said, looking back to our loyal historical customer relationship with longer maturity, our cross-sell, upsell opportunities are growing and customers are still delivering double-digit growth in terms of commission and fee income in a market quite challenged in terms of lower fees and commissions. And also most of the activities that we used to charge before were becoming free of charge for our customers available through different channels. Our operating expenses grew also by 6%. This is in line with the salary growth and inflation in Romania, which actually helped us to keep our cost-to-income ratio at 47%, because also we had good results from trading and FX and customer servicing income, which brought our pre-provision operating profit to 2.1 billion lei, a growth of 18.3%, And our net profit has been at 1.6 billion, as we already announced, with a flat cost of risk at 60 basis points and almost flat net interest margin of 3.45%, offering a very good return on equity over 20%. Our loan to customers grew by 6%, as we already mentioned, and deposits from customers by 19% to 75 billion lei. Most of our customer deposit funding is in current accounts bearing zero interest rate. This is also helping us to maintain a good interest, net interest margin and net interest income. And the bank's total equity is at 8.5 billion lei, which, including the profit, it is at 21.28%. That's why also we said, as we mentioned in our press release, that we will be maintaining the good buffers that we had during the last years, but also offer around 60% of our profitability of proceeds as cash dividends to our investors. If you have the, if you have access to our presentation, which is on our website, you will see also that obviously the trends in income structure are positive, supporting our medium and long term optimism about the solidity of our business. And our fee and commission income are growing, as I mentioned, supported by a leap forward of net trading income, which markets were favorable. Our treasury did a good job, but also customers are using more and more our services for trading or FX services. Our consumer loans grew 8%, mainly on the lei side, in equal manner for housing loans and consumer loans. And we are proud that we delivered another double-digit growth in SME loans last year, which reached 5.5%. And in corporate banking, in the larger tickets, we were mostly flat. This was partially due to our risk appetite. We like small tickets, higher volumes, and this assures also better loan quality and better incomes, revenues, especially in times like this that we are passing through. Our PAR 90 is quite stable at 280 basis points. And as you see, as you have seen, if you follow our quarterly results, in the last quarter we have tightened our provisioning policy to maintain the same coverage ratio. And our NPL coverage ratio, with, if you include also the hard collateral, that their liquidation value is at comfortable 128% level. Our deposits had been growing around 19%, as I said, mainly from current accounts, but also in the last quarter of each year, as you have seen, there had been accumulation of customer deposits, which is being spent, kind of going out of our balance sheet in January, February due to tax payments or other spending, which is also the trend that we are experiencing. In retail banking, with almost 3 million active customers, we are really glad to see that our investments in technology help us to deliver good quality services with the same network, without growing our network and personnel to a higher number of customers. Our own wallet application, BT Pay and Apple Pay, have reached a couple of hundred thousand transactions per day. And widely shared, we are already extending our investments in technology and also offering services, almost full cash services to our recycler network, which is on and off-site linked to our own network. With 4.1 million active cards, we have 23% market share. And last year, as you have seen, almost every 10 transactions had been done every second with a BT card. This is also something that we invest for the performance, because we see that the customers' usage generally in Romania, but also within our portfolio, is increasing. And we are continuing to invest in our communication lines, in our servers and hardware and applications performance in order to service numbers many times more than this. We see from now on an accelerated, an amplified accelerated growth in terms of card usage and applications usage in Romania. All customers are from all ages are becoming native users. In the SME banking, we have 320,000 active customers and granted 5,800 new loans in the last quarter of last year and 21,000 loans throughout the throughout 2019. We are still the bank of the first bank of choice for the SME customers and startups. And also in the Startup Nation program, which has been recently closed, our market share is close to 50%. So one out of two applicants of Startup Nation program organized by state bodies have chosen to work with Banca Transilvania. In corporate banking, we are trying to focus on the sector that we have both appetite and competence and experience, but on the other hand also but we are trying to develop our foothold in terms of upsell and cross-sell opportunities to other business lines. This is actually our main reason of going to larger tickets. It's a profitable business, though it is slightly slower growing than the other business lines in BT. It has a good contribution in terms of creating new businesses for retail and SME banking business lines. Also, 2019 had been the year where we had significant contribution from our subsidiaries, especially Victoria Bank, our investment in Moldova has contributed almost to one-third of the profits which are coming from subsidiaries, but we see BT Leasing, BT Microfinance, and BT Asset Management, they maintain their good business trend, high growth, and also good contribution to the balance sheet of the bank, where we are already trying to promote ourselves not only as Banca Transilvania, but as financial services group of Banca Transilvania, being active in all segments. We have been, although it's not in 2019 numbers, we have also recently announced our investment in private pensions through an acquisition, a small participant acquisition, and the transaction has been recently approved. So this year, we will be also developing this new business line quite ambitiously. I would like to also give the chance to answer your questions, as many, if there are any, about the trends and developments. You have been most probably following also Romania in the political scene. There are further changes, which is putting pressure on delaying certain investments, certain plans. But on the other hand, we see that in the last many years, a few dozen years, Romanian economy, thanks to private initiatives, entrepreneurs, and good multinational investors, have been proving itself without necessarily having much political support or the need for political support. And we think that this will be the story from now on, especially in, considering that 2020 is an election year. Both local and parliamentary elections will be held. I guess there will be lots of political talk, but all political parties are trying to position themselves also pro-business, and that's also that is supporting our optimism about 2020 and then the years ahead. So thank you very much for listening, and let's start with the Q&A.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speaker, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 0 and 2 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. And we've received a first question from the line that ends in the digits 455. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello everybody. It's Luciano Blescu here from Ipovema Securities. Thank you for the presentation. Couple of questions from my side. First of all, just related to the fourth quarter, can you tell us if there were any one-offs, especially in terms of expenses? I think in other expenses they looked a bit higher than in the previous quarters. This is one question, and the second related to the guidance for this year, for 2020. Is there any trend that might change or anything changing from what you guided before, especially in terms of loan growth and the cost of risk, if you can comment? Thank you.
Hi, Lucian. Thank you for the question. If I understood correctly, in the last quarter, the biggest and the significant one-off was the booking of the banking tax, the tax on assets, which was a figure of 103 million lei. That's why, put a pressure on the numbers, but we were trying to offer guidance through the year that it will be booked in the last quarter. As regard to the past loan growth, actually, so far, January and February have been as per our expectations. We are growing along with the market, definitely. We depend on Romania and Romanian growth. But the retail and SME growth didn't decelerate. And we are comfortable that, as we did until now, we will be able to deliver a few percentage higher than GDP growth in terms of our loan growth. And now, as Mihaela reminds me, unfortunately, I cannot give you more detailed answer because we are going to announce our budget for 2020 when we will convoke the General Shareholders Assembly towards the end of March. You will see our positioning there. But I will say that we maintain both solid growth and optimism in our numbers.
Thank you. And on the cost of risk side also, right? There's no major change? Or
no, I mean, we do not, although we always say that for a bank of our size doing retail lending, micro lending, SME lending, a fair cost of risk could be 100 basis points. We don't expect a huge leap forward. And also we see that still recoveries from previous non-performing loans or recovered assets is also still keeping a good trend. That's why I don't think we will deliver surprises.
Okay, thank you.
And the next question is from the line that ends in the digits 313. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning and good afternoon. This is Tunde from Hadin Lovner. Just a quick follow-up on your bank asset tax. What is the current situation around that? You know, my understanding is it's been eliminated, but just want to be sure that, you know, I have the right information and that's been communicated to you as a bank. So meaning 2020, we're not having these taxes, or is it still under deliberation? And the second question from my side is, do you envisage any sort of, or are you more worried about political interference in the banking industry the way we had in the last 2 years? Given, you know, the political changes that are going on right now, are you seeing any adverse regulation or sort of direct interference that could impact profitability? Thanks.
As regard to banking tax, this is a debate which is ongoing in the Parliament and Senate, and we know that even these days, tomorrow and the day after tomorrow there will be some parliamentary commissions having a debate on that. Indeed, the government has cancelled the emergency ordinance which caused the banking tax or which induced the banking tax, but on the other hand, Constitutional Court came and attacked the decision in terms of the procedure of taking the decision, not in terms of the content. I don't want to give any estimation because luckily it was a shock. So what I could tell is that, as you have seen, and as we said to public as well, in case of such introduction of tax keeping such a tax, Banca Transilvania and other market participants will be further delivering the costs to their customers, also sharing the costs with their customers, and this will be possible. We have enough meat on the bone to digest the impact. We are now making our draft budget with two versions until everything will be cleared. But also coming back to your second question, somehow they are linked. I don't want to be in an overly optimistic side. I mean, I guess it's not a good time to show a big smile on our faces these days. But on the other hand, both the previous government, which is now the current opposition, and the current government, which was previous opposition, they understood that the discussion, the fight with the banking system, financial system, or any other investors didn't help economic growth, and I don't expect, I think the talk will be more on the positive side, because also this was the reaction from the public. I guess it should be about constructing things, producing new things, creating new things, not obviously destroying what had been done. That's why it's more my personal opinion. I don't expect significant bad surprises. Definitely there will be from time to time political declarations about banks, about multinationals and so on, but I don't expect it to impact our business as usual. Thank you.
Oh, okay, great. Can I follow up, please? Sorry, on the banking asset tax, you mentioned that the Constitutional Court sort of invalidated the process. Do you know when you have an idea when this is going to be finally resolved, whether there is a banking tax or when there is not? And in your budget, are you going to include one or not?
I mean, in terms of, I already said, we are doing our budget in two variations, with or without banking tax. But the bottom line doesn't change much. On the other hand, I cannot offer a clear calendar because the discussions are ongoing. And what we estimate is that there might be in the month of March we can have clearance on that. But on the other hand, all political parties and politicians have other priorities. That's why it can take longer than that. I'm sorry that I cannot. As I'm not part of those discussions, I cannot offer clear guidance. But on the other hand, as we said, we will not change our business plan or financial indicators. Or at least, even with the presence of the banking tax, we will be delivering the same financial indicators.
Okay, very helpful. And then on your fee income side, when I look at your fee income expense, it grew significantly above, you know, the fee and commission income. But why is that in 2019? I'm just curious. Thanks. And do you expect that to continue in this situation?
Sorry, can you repeat the question? I didn't understand. Could you repeat, please?
The question is your fee income expense growing faster than your fee income growth. So basically putting pressure on your net fee and commission income, right? Why is the expense line growing that much faster? You know, any particular changes that cause that, and what do you expect going forward?
Pasi, we will come back with clarifications on that. It's about either IFRS 9 related or Banco's integration related, so we didn't have an increase on certain items. But if you look at our operating expenses, maybe I don't know if it is somehow impacted the number that you are mentioning by the banking tax or not. However, we will be putting in the presentation a clarifying notice on that.
The audited report is going to have a very clear guidance with regard to the ways in which different items are booked. So, for example, also when you are looking at the net interest income, you are going to see that our interest expenses, were in fact growing at a faster pace than, let's say, what you were used to see. It was not a shift or a change in the cost of funding of the bank. On the contrary, when we are speaking about the liabilities. But on the other hand, we were having the penalty interest, which is linked to the excess liquidity in euros. But all these details are going to be very visible when it comes to the audited accounts to be presented end of March.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, and the next question is from the line that ends in 229. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. This is Katalin Yakunov from Raiffeisen Bank. So I have a couple of questions. The first one would be if you can give us a bit more detail on why cost of risk is so volatile in recent quarters. So either you have a positive quarter or you have a huge... not really huge, but I mean, there's a very significant increase, for example, in the fourth quarter. So what are the triggers, and should we expect the same volatility also this year?
So you intend to put the question one by one so that we know how to come with the answers?
Yeah.
Okay, so when it comes to the cost of risk, also during last year we were mentioning that our intention, seeing how, let's say, good the repayment behavior of clients was during the year, that we would feel more comfortable to make sure that the coverage ratio is kept for the bank as total provisions to total loans. So during the fourth quarter, we were tightening a little bit the provisioning policy, changing some models in order to not dilute too much the coverage ratio on the portfolio, even though exposures were performing extraordinary. Also, and again, like compared to the budget, which as you know, we were having it budgeted at 90 or 100 basis points, the 60 basis points is still, a very decent and very good figure which was delivered by the bank. We were nevertheless trying during the year, on a quarterly basis, to emphasize that we are not feeling comfortable with such a low cost of risk or even, let's say, with a positive thing because, okay, the very good economic circumstances could change and we want to be, at a certain extent, conservative and prepared and keep the coverage ratio not diluted.
Okay, understood. Another thing I noticed in the fourth quarter results was that practically loan growth was stopped in the fourth quarter. What was behind this trend? And I mean, I already heard about the outlook, but what happened in the fourth quarter that the loan growth stopped?
When we are speaking about, loan growth, in general terms, like SME, retail, the fourth quarter was bringing the same kind of growth like during the year. On the other hand, we were having some repayments when it comes to corporate loans where we were not in the, in the mood of finding or pushing for growth in a new transaction if it happened to have such a cash flow inflow during the last quarter.
I mean, because of the higher economic activity, maybe also the last quarter, most of our SME or corporate banking customers, they had excess funds. That's why we have seen a slight decrease in the lines of credit, which are being reutilized at the beginning of the year. And also, one of our main business lines, the agribusiness, has quite a cyclical nature due to state subsidies or due to revenues from sales of the harvest. In the last quarter, usually the exposure is decreasing. So it's just without giving numbers, where you, which you will see more in detail definitely in the financial statements, these are the main reasons. Otherwise, our production didn't decrease, and we also see it as a normal course of business. On the other hand, as we grow further, definitely the numbers, are, in absolute terms, they look bigger. Otherwise, this was more or less the same trend of BT for almost every year, and we didn't have an integration.
Okay, understood. And one last question from me. Why did the fees and commissions decrease on a net basis in the fourth quarter? I mean, it seems a bit odd, especially since you would have a seasonal jump in number of transactions.
So, first, there were a couple of, changes when it comes to the accounting principles compared to last year, and you are going to see also those details in the audited report. And secondly, during on a quarterly basis, during the year, we were comparing quarterly results of 2019, which was incorporating what we were taking over from Bancpost, with BT standalone at in the previous year. Then, compared to the end of last year, there we were having all kind of figures which were related to the way in which the whole integration accounting has been done. And the fee and commission part at that moment was, slightly inflated due to the different accounting principles. Excluding those things, more or less our CFO is also mentioning that we were having, in fact, just 9 months of consolidation last year and this year. So there were a couple of accounting procedures, which were negatively affecting the growth phase. When it comes to number of transactions, as you were able to see from the press release and the number of customers using the different services, there was no decrease in any way when it comes to our financials.
So there is no underlying, decreases in fees or something like that that we should really worry about?
Well, in principle, no. It is not like having a pressure in terms of fees on usual kind of transactions. But on the other hand, you shouldn't forget all the regulations which are to be implemented at European level and which were passed mid of last year, which are going to definitely have some impact when it comes to the trend of fee income and commission income throughout the banking world. So that's something what we are also part of, but as we were doing also in the past, clearly we are coming with all kinds of initiatives in order to offset any kind of negative trends which are triggered by all kinds of regulatory limitations in terms of different fee levels.
Okay, understood. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you.
And the next question is from the line that ends in the digits 903. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. It's Simon Nellis from Citi. Just three quick questions. Firstly, on your margin, can you remind us what your sensitivity is to rate hikes or rate decline? And just can you maybe elaborate on how the outlook looks for margin, given all the moving parts? I mean, I'd be interested in knowing if you think the rate hikes that have occurred, are they fully now in your numbers? A second question would be about Moldova, if you could just give us a brief update on how the business is going there. And then last, on further M&A, after integrating Bancpost, do you have appetite for further M&A? And I think you have an option to buy more of Victoria Bank. When would you consider purchasing more of that business? That's all from me. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so I will take the first question with regard to the interest rate sensitivity. Well, more or less similar to what we were mentioning also last year, given the fact that the majority of our assets are with variable interest rate, and on the deposit side, even though fixed, but we are speaking about short-term deposits, in the end, the sensitivity is like during 1 year, we are able to benefit of like to the extent the interest rates are going up, we are going to be able to benefit of around 30 to 45% of the growth, given the fact that repricing on our loan book is happening on a half-year basis. So definitely it is connected to the moment when any kind of interest rate hike is taking place throughout the financial year. On the other hand, when it comes to decreases in terms of interest rates, there, given the huge liquidity we are enjoying, it's like on the liability side, we can relatively quickly reflect it, and we should offset the impact even quicker than like the 6 months which we are needing when it comes to the repricing on the loan side. But on the other hand, related to this, it's important to mention that we are expecting more or less stability in terms of the reference rate, considering that we have a certain inflation rate and we have a certain reference rate for the time being. So for us, or our view with regard to 2020, is that the reference rate is going to stay rather stable as long as the inflation rate is going to be in the same area of 300 to 350 basis points. Thank you.
Yeah, it's Mihaela said definitely in both increasing interest rate environment and decreasing interest environment, we have shown that our policy of using almost solely variable interest rates helped, and Romanian average maturities are always shorter, the average repricing periods are also quite short. Coming back to your question on Moldova, actually, Moldova in terms of size, still it's a small investment for us. We are together with EBRD, we are controlling 73% of the bank, of Victoria Bank. But on the other hand, we have established our management, we have established, transferred a couple of the products that we know and we like, that they are functioning in terms of retail and micro lending. We are happy about the high commission income of the bank, but on the other hand, we realize that this will not be lasting long. That's why we are trying to increase the lending. The first year we spent mostly to establish governance and to update the technology of the bank. Now, starting with the last quarter, actually the loan growth started picking up, and we are at the level that we desire. In terms of profitability, the bank is performing as we expected, although sometimes we have surprises, then, for example, we make more money from segments that we didn't expect or less from the ones that we expected to do. This is also part of our learning curve. On the other hand, now with a fully established management corporate governance in place with all board members appointed, we expect in 2020 and the years ahead, Victoria Bank contribution to be at least in line, or more definitely growingly in line what they have delivered so far. I would like to repeat also that we are focused on retail lending, card payments, SME banking, agribusiness, and microfinance in Moldova, and we see great potential there.
And just generally on future M&A, are there any targets you're looking at, or do you have appetite, or are you just still kind of bedding down Bank Post and Victoria Bank?
Victoria Bank, we didn't integrate. This is a standalone investment. We are not integrating. I mean, we are kind of on the emotions are integrating business cultures, but not systems, and we don't own it 100%. and it's a different geography with different regulators. On the other hand, I'll say definitely we allocated resources, significant human resources and management there. However, so far the result that we have is encouraging us. We are not, a couple of years ago, we were much more aggressive in M&A because we knew that we needed to reach a certain asset size, certain economies of scale. Now we will be looking quite opportunistically to potential transactions. We will do if it, if the transactions are really generating good cost and revenue synergies. We have already quite a good market share. We, and if you look at the potential transactions which might come to the market, market shares that they deliver the increase might be also diluting you, so that if you don't see a very good financial result out of it, if there is a huge overlap of customers, if they will not generate good cross-sell, then we will not be very aggressive on new transactions. But we have a very strong capital position and high liquidity, so this makes us also the best candidates to capture if there will be a good deal. Also, potential sellers, they know that we have been good in delivering integration, so that once we enter into a transaction, we complete it and we integrate institutions very quickly. So this kind of favors us in the markets in the future potential transactions.
And if you don't find those transactions and you are overcapitalized, would you increase your dividend? What's your outlook there?
From all no cash dividends, we have gradually came to mentioning, hopefully it will be approved by the shareholders, around 60% cash dividends, so that as long as our, let's say, capital position will allow, we don't see any reason not to do what you have suggested. But on the other hand, we think and we see already that Romanian banking system, Romanian banking markets will grow faster than its pace so far. So that I'm sure that we will find good ways to use profitably our capital from now on.
And when you say 60% cash dividend, do you mean 60% payout, or is that 60% of nominal value or something? Sorry.
It's 60% of the profit which is available to be distributed.
60% payout.
No interest, yeah, payout.
Okay, thanks very much. That's all from me.
There are currently no further questions, so as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad. We haven't received any further questions, so I hand back to the speakers.
Thank you very much for joining us. And if there are further questions, please do not hesitate to send to Mihail and her team. We will try to be try to answer promptly all of your questions. As I said, towards the end of March, we will be also convoking our General Shareholders Assembly for end of April, where you will see our audited financial reports and also more clearance about the numbers that we have been discussing now. On the other hand, markets are definitely quite volatile. We are trying to follow very closely the developments and hope that, first of all, everybody's personal health will be assured. We wish you a good year ahead and hope that next time we meet, we will discuss also first quarter results. There will be more good news than the market disruption. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.